A warning for our viewers out there, this podcast is in no way affiliated with MasterChef, its contestants, or the production. Hey guys, this is Chef Kelsey Murphy from MasterChef Season 11, and I am here with my filmmaker friend, Pete Ferrero. We are here to chat about MasterChef Season 13, The United Tastes of America. Each week, we're going to break down every single episode, chatting about the contestants, their dishes, and all of the drama that is sure to come. Hey guys, welcome to The Real Eats. Kelsey here with my good friend Pete, and we are here to do an amazing interview with the most recently eliminated contestant from the Dodger Stadium Challenge. Please welcome Kendall to the podcast. Well, we are excited to chat with you. We've gotten to chat with everybody so far from the season, and it's really fun for us to hear the perspective of what it was like for you to be on the show, you know, like the things you loved about it, the things you didn't love about it, what happened during the last challenge that got you eliminated, like all the, we want to know all the things. So I'll start from the beginning. Like how was your experience at MasterChef?
You know, overall, I think MasterChef was a wonderful thing for me personally. I think that as you've said in some of the previous shows, you know, the barbecue guys, a lot of times we don't have the range that a lot of chefs have. And, you know, I think that when I got the call to, you know, I got asked to come on the show, I said, you know, I'm not a master chef. I'm not doing that. So years went by and they called again. And I said, you know what? Screw it. You know, what's the worst that can come out of it? You know, I'm going to go outside of my wheelhouse. And I'm going to cook for Gordon Ramsay in front of millions of people, you know. And so that's kind of how it started. My wife was not necessarily on the same page at first, you know, spending that much time away from our family. You know, I've got a third grader and she's a first grade teacher. So, you know, it was really a hard thing to decide to do. But overall, it was a wonderful experience. I've got some great friends. I learned a lot about the chefy world. I learned a lot about reality TV. and I also, you know, I'm just very thankful for the friends and family that I've, you know, added to my family.
It seems really cool from watching you guys on social media. It seems like your season has really taken to each other and, you know, gotten together to cook a lot and talk to each other a lot and really bonded over the time you guys spent together.
You know, it's hell when you're in the fire, as you know, but, you know, we really enjoyed each other's company. We all have one common love, and that was food. You know, we all love to talk about our successes and our problems and what we could do better. And, you know, I think that overall we really did as the top 40, really.
Yes.
We all got along really well. You know, I mean, outside of that, you know, the top 20, I'm sure that as the season goes, there's some tensions that, you know, clash. But I do think that overall, we were very much a very friendly group and enjoyed each other's company.
How did you like the twist this season about the regions? How did you feel about the regions?
You know, obviously, because as you say, I've got more lives than a cat. what's his name?
It's calling you out.
I said it.
Yeah, oh yeah.
I'm sorry.
When she came in and said what she said, she made a valid point. I firmly believe that when the chicken challenge, one of the episodes that I actually did good in, all five dishes from the South, in my opinion, were the top five dishes of the day. When I turned around and looked, and you weren't able to see all those dishes because they didn't show them.
Right.
All five of them were perfectly plated. I was right next to Jennifer's, and I know that, you know, sometimes they can say chicken's dry and it's not. And, you know, I truly believe in that very moment that was the case. And I think that, like I said, all five dishes in the South were very tough that day. So I think that was an advantage and a disadvantage for, you know, some of us.
Yeah, it really narrows down the competition. Like, I don't know why when Sarah brought that up, I hadn't like realized that or thought about that, but it makes it, it's like every day is the top five or the top four. It's like,
yeah. And you know, when you have somebody like me, which is just such a star that takes a lot of the spotlight early, you don't get to see a lot of people like Sav and Reagan.
Totally.
And Colby, you don't get, you know what I mean? And they're badass chefs
right.
that have you know, I hate, like I told him, I hate to steal the spotlight for something bad, but at least I'm getting on camera.
I gonna say you got airtime, and yeah, until this past week, we didn't even like know who Sav was.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Oh, and you know, I think Sav is a very intelligent chef, you know, and that's going to hopefully come. You'll see that in the future as well. I mean, overall, everybody was great chefs. I'm not going to sit here and say that any one person wasn't a wonderful chef. I do think that a lot of the other contestants knew what to expect a lot more. You know, I've never watched an entire season of MasterChef. Mm. You know, that's a negative.
Yeah.
That caused a problem. And I had to learn the game and learn what the judges expected on the fly, you know?
Yeah.
And so I definitely think that looking back, I wish that I would have, you know, spent 6 weeks working and really training hard on things that I needed to, like my baking skills, you know, to say that I've made 5 cakes in my life from scratch is probably about accurate. And one of them was on national TV, you know.
It's always a good place to try to perfect your art, you know. Like
exactly. So, you know, a lot of my skills were left at the door, you know.
Sure.
And that definitely caused its challenges throughout the season. That's for sure.
You definitely have this incredible moment where mm-hmm. Gordon, we've never seen this, I don't think, in the history of the show, wants to take your barbecue sauce home with him. What was that experience like? And I'm sure Kelsey's got specific questions about the sauce, but that shows why do you belong here? And they made that beautiful statement about this is something we can't do, what you are able to do. I mean, that to me is just an incredible commentary.
I think that I probably have the worst dish in MasterChef history, and I have probably two of the best compliments that they've ever given out with the barbecue sauce. And then going back to my audition, I mean, Joe, for him to tell me it was the best filet that's come across that table, that's impressive.
Seriously.
And I really, I mean, thankful for those kind of comments, and thankful for, you know, I did get to show a little bit of my talents to you know, to the world. So I am thankful for that.
Well, I think it's important to note because, you know, even for me, a winner of the show, I don't claim to be a master at anything. You know, like I was really good at playing the game. I have a good, you know, like general understanding of a lot of different things. Whereas, and that might just not play, you know, like that plays really well on MasterChef.
Sure.
And for you, you know, you can say like you have mastered barbecue and, you know, those flavors and those techniques, you know, which in its own right, you know, is way more of an accomplishment, you know, than just saying won a television show. So that literally was one of my favorite moments in MasterChef history was when Joe was like, again, had never thought about that. He was like, this is something that we can't do. You know, like most of the dishes we bring up there, they're like, this is great. We can also do this. But, you know, you're able to bring something unique. In gameplay, obviously, it puts you at a huge disadvantage. But when you're able to showcase that on national television, like pretty freaking awesome.
Oh, yeah, no doubt. I'm definitely thankful. And like I said, going into the season, I really kind of thought Joe, the few episodes that I did watch when I was in LA, I thought Joe was going to be, he was going to really love me. But looking back, you know, Joe gave me some awesome compliments. And I, you know, all three of the judges, you know, one thing I really liked about the show was they care. They will tear you down. They want to, you know, be the typical Gordon Ramsay. But at the end of the day, he wants you to do the best you can do. You know what I mean? He wants you to grow in whatever area you are wanting to grow in. And I think that's an awesome, awesome thing. I think we could do a, you know, a MasterChef barbecue related type deal. Sure. And really have a good show there.
Oh, definitely. A good spinoff show. I like that.
So many people don't know the art of barbecue. And so
a huge world out there of, you know, barbecue people.
That would be a really awesome concept. I'm curious, when, you know, you're someone that definitely had experiences where Gordon was in your face and it was explosive at times. You watch this on television, and it's one thing to watch him do it to someone else, and then it's like right in your face. It's like, this is must be surreal, I imagine. What is that experience like, and what did you take from it?
You know, it really brought me back to the sports world. You know, growing up playing baseball, football, we had aggressive coaches that definitely didn't mind getting in your face. And sometimes, I'm not saying Gordon just yells to yell, because we know he really doesn't. But, you know, a lot of times I think that he's just yelling to be yelling, you know, sure. Especially in the team challenges. So at the end of the day, I look at the facts and what was, you know, if I made a mistake, I'm the first, and I said that from the get-go, I'll tell you, I made a mistake. You know, I had no idea what I was going to do for the Apple Challenge. I made big mistakes. I owned it, you know, and I feel like that's important. But I do feel that, you know, Gordon, he just yells to yell in the team challenges. And then
no doubt. Throws things.
It's hilarious. I've said it so many times on here. I'm like, it's freaking hilarious.
Yeah. I mean, there's nothing that I could have done right. I felt that day, you know, when you're in the moment, there's nothing you can do right or wrong. So in that moment, I just kind of put my head down and go back to work.
Yeah. Tell me about the challenge. So
the recent challenge. Yeah.
Yeah. The most recent challenge.
You know, first off, being at Dodger Stadium, how cool is that?
Man.
You know, a high tradition and high pride, and there's so many great things that have gone through that stadium. You know, we're probably one of the few people in the world that have cooked in center field of you know, Dodger Stadium. So that overall is a very cool experience. I wish that the team challenges were equal, and it was apples and apples, and we could have burgers versus burgers, fries sure. versus fries, slaw versus slaw. I think that would be more of a level competitive field there. Even going back to when Ryan left, you know, I think we both should have had pork chops. We both should have had steak.
Yes.
In that, and so at the end of the day, I do feel that we were, you know, given the biggest disadvantage by giving chicken. And then, you know, the first thing I said was, do we have any more grease? And because we're not in the MasterChef arena, they don't have an endless supply of products. Like, we ran out of mayonnaise.
Yeah.
We didn't have grease. We didn't have, you know,
that's
what I mean?
I was like, did they not bring enough mayonnaise on set?
No.
I
was talking to,
you get 1 gallon.
I was actually talking to one of the other contestants on the phone after the show. And by the way, he says hello. And he definitely was, you know, he was on the other team. They had one thing of mayonnaise. We had one thing of mayonnaise. There was no more mayonnaise on property, you know? So that's a disadvantage that I think that, you know, we had to go through with being on a off-site location, you know? But all in all, I'm very thankful and, you know, appreciate it. I felt that if we did lose, there's no doubt that I was going home. It was my time. I mean, at the end of the day, I was out there for a very, very long time. And I really and truly, I was about ready to come home anyway, you know?
Yeah.
Like, it was such an emotional roller coaster for me that, you know, I feel like I'm a pretty steady guy, but Gordon, he knows how to make it high and lows, that's for sure.
Yeah, it's mentally tough being out there for
for
that long. It gets very exhusting. And you kind of get to that point where you're like, I mean, I don't want to go home, get eliminated, but if I do, I'm okay.
I had a good run.
See my family.
I get to go see my kids and my wife or husband and like go home.
I stood on grass twice in the entire time I was there.
Yeah,
that's such an odd. It's so far from reality and from North Mississippi. You know what I mean? It was a bit of a shell shock. That's for sure.
The reverse sear. Have you done that in barbecue competitions before, and it's worked out incredibly?
So I have done that. When I do reverse sear, it's for thick cuts of meat that I don't want to travel really fast on the backside. So if you bring a piece of meat up slowly, then you sear it on the backside, you have a lot less chance of overcooking or undercooking it. Mm-hmm. And so I figured with cooking 115 or 130 things, the number one thing is we have to serve everyone. You know, in the previous team challenge, to me, if you don't serve all the guests, that should be an automatic you lost. Right. Well, that's not the case.
Right.
And so my number one thing was getting everything cooked. And so I felt like when we couldn't fry it, we had to have, and that was the best option we had at the time. You know, we could have grilled it and then put it in the oven, but I think it's a lot bigger of a chance to overcook something in the oven versus when I pull it out at 155, 160, and that's internal temperature, I put it in the speed racks, it's going to continue to rise
sure.
for 5 degrees. And then we're going to sear it just real quickly to melt the cheese and let her eat, you know? Mm-hmm. So I felt like that was a good option because with the cards we were dealt, you know?
Yeah. Chicken's so tough in that situation. And like, I totally understood your like concept and your thinking behind it. Like it made sense mm-hmm. to me. Cause I was like, yeah, you cook it and then you just like sear it quick and it's, you know, it's good to go. And it is hard. You obviously know better than we do, but sometimes I'm like, are they making a big deal about it just to make a big deal about it?
And you know, that's national you know, TV.
Like, yeah,
that's
right.
All
like,
I can say.
Right. You know, like that's why I'm like sitting here like, this is an easy way for them to find something to, you know.
When I truly believe a lot of people have asked me, you know, and I think you mentioned it in the podcast, what did I say? Under my breath.
And
what did you say?
I truly believe, after looking back, I think that I said that chicken was effing perfect because he called me to the front and he cut it. And Reagan, Jennifer, and myself were all right there. And we all, they didn't show this, but we all had this little look. And we looked at each other and clear juices were pouring out of it. Like, that's all I can do. You know what I mean? So at that point, it is what it is. I truly believe Gordon and I may have had a disagreement on what dry and moist chicken was that day.
There's always some of those in the season where I'm just like, like, you know, like,
yeah,
like, yeah, well, no it doubt. Looked pretty good to me. I have plans in my season from like, I was watching them cut and I'm like, it looks great. And then they just like totally tear it apart. I'm like, well, what? Yeah. Wait a second.
Well, as you know, they love to build you up and tear you down.
Right. Right. I'm like, wait, they look perfect.
Hey, but that's why they're casting for their 14th season too.
Exactly. It's pretty incredible. So
100% incredible. And you know, I'm like I said, overall, I'm just very thankful for all the opportunities that I've gotten. And hopefully I'll have a lot more. I've already been in contact with some more barbecue type shows that you know,
awesome.
once I get freed up, I'd like to be able to do some things like that and you know, a little more in my wheelhouse. So
yeah. Are you going to continue obviously with all the barbecue, all the things?
Oh yeah.
Any plans? I mean, are you going to bottle that sauce for us?
Please.
I am. I've got some sauce bottling coming. I've got rubs coming. I've
Perfect.
Got some apparel that I'd like to get out, and we're going to continue to, you know, go out and carve our niche in the culinary world. And I think that with this, it opens a lot of doors, and who knows what direction. We're at a crossroad right now, and we don't know which way to turn. So, you know, as a whole, my wife and I would love for her to quit teaching and, go full-time barbecuing and go do cooking classes and sell rubs and sauces and, you know, teach the people how to elevate their barbecue. And that's kind of the route that I would like to see us go as of right now. But who knows, you never know what opportunities come.
That's awesome, Kendall. I love it. You know, just keep following it. Keep saying yes, you know, just.
That's right.
See
you
what
know,
happens.
You never know.
Yeah.
So, and we were fortunate to get fourth place at the world championship this year in the pork division. And then we also got a perfect score in the beef division with the filet mignon and the crawfish cream sauce. So, you know, I think that we'll just continue to try to win a world title and go from there.
I want to come into one of these.
Hey, you're welcome. Anytime. Like, Memphis in May is the one that I think that would be a really good opportunity for a lot of people to come out and hang out. We do a big booth.
Yeah, do so we get to how, eat?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm like, well,
we
I want to eat.
Yeah, we eat and drink and be merry the whole time. We really hang out right there at our site. So on how it works, Wednesday night, Thursday night, we'll do a catering job, and that's how I pay for the event. I have some local corporate companies that come out and enjoy the night and that kind of thing. We have a band or a DJ, a full bar, usually three meats, three sides, and a dessert table. And then on Friday, the competition starts. And so Friday morning, we'll turn in six or eight different categories and then start cooking the main category, which turns in on Saturday. So at 4 o'clock on Friday afternoon, we start cooking the whole shoulders. And then at 11 o'clock on Saturday, we'll build boxes and have three judges come on site where we get to do a presentation and actually explain where we got the meat and how we got it to the finished product. And then if we're fortunate enough to make it to the top three, then we'll make it to the final round and four more judges will come out and do on site. And so it's an all day affair. We're just hanging out, cooking great barbecue, having sounds cold beverage amazing. Or two in between. And, you know, it's a good time. So you're welcome to any
that
event
sounds
that we come
incredible.
To.
It also sounds like it needs to be sponsored by Monster Energy for you guys. Cause I don't think anyone's sleeping.
Yeah, yeah. Red Bull, Monster, any of them, I'd be down with it.
I guess, hey, definitely. Like, it sounds like an all-nighter or a couple nights in a row.
Well,
it is.
I was going to say, I think you were amazing on television and clearly belonged in the competition. The barbecue sauce spoke to Gordon that he wanted to take it home. And I think your authenticity comes through on the show. It wasn't always a perfect thing. When would it ever be, right? In any kind
That's
of competition,
right.
in any kind of competition. You see that in every sporting event every week. So I'm just really grateful that you joined us here and that you were on the show, because I think you brought a lot, and not a lot of people can say that they were in the top 20 on MasterChef, who is not maybe, you know, like you said, you're the barbecue guy, right? So it's not like that's a huge accomplishment to get where you got in the time frame that you got there, and to get into the top 20 and to keep making it every week, I think is really awesome, dude.
Yeah, you know, I think I said in the season, I was surviving week to week. That is all I was doing, but I definitely enjoyed it. And, you know, I feel like that it made me a better person as a whole. So I appreciate the opportunity and thank y'all for having me. And Kelsey, you're welcome at any barbecue.
I was
going to
say, I would love to come to barbecue. I say this to everybody and I truly mean it wholeheartedly. I'm in the MasterChef family. I was welcomed by many other contestants into that family after my season, and I welcome you into that family as well. So if you ever want help or advice or want to work together or anything of that sort, you reach out.
We'll definitely do that.
We are literally one in a family, because it is.
That's right.
We've all been through a common experience together. Congratulations. You did a great job.
Yeah.
And we're proud of you.
Thank you. Y'all have a good one, and be safe, and hopefully we'll see you down the trail.
All right. Thanks, Kendall.
All right. Thank you.
All right, guys. That was a great interview. We cannot wait for you to tune in next week. See you then.